Trash Planet contains themes of desperation and poverty. We portray a comedic, absurd, and violent world. For a full list of content warnings, please see the episode description.
Return to the twisty wilds of Trash Planet. It's way before sunrise. We hear the wind blowing. We see that glitter still passing through, just little glints in the wind. We see Petra coming out of her tent. She's rolling her shoulders out. She's wearing her mask. It's one of those ear flap hats, like the Alaskan fur hats with the mask built in. And she's shivering and she's, you know, stretching out. She's waking up. She's cold, so she goes back in her tent and comes back wrapped in one of those, like, metallic space blankets that warms you up real fast. She's yawning. She's moving quietly. She's trying not to wake anybody up. We see all of your tents, like, gently rustling in the wind. So she hauls open the trapdoor, steps down the ladder, heads into the Screamin' Slice. And when she reaches the kitchen, the first thing she does is reaches under the counter and pulls out this armful of wires and knobs and antennas. She's fiddling around, unspooling shit. She's clicking stuff together. And she twists a dial, and her hacked-up little radio project comes to life.
And finally, a big old congratulations to Marv and Barty Wackenblitz in Bugtown South, who have finally done us all a big favor and gotten divorced. I, for one, am excited to hear who gets to keep the last name. I like Wackenblitz a whole lot. If one of you don't keep it, I will. Don't touch that dial. I got 40 minutes of fuzzy-ass guitars coming up. This has been Manja Mike Wackenblitz. Maybe. We'll see. Shansha, sweetheart.
And we see Petra bustling around, dumping gunpowder into the Hobart mixer, pulling out a block of algae. The sun's rising, glitters in the wind. It is another day. We see Lottie waking up in her tent, groaning in pain. It is the morning after your mission to intimidate Jim Bob Marscapone. How are you doing?
Lottie's not doing great. She has just a bunch of makeshift padding, like, strapped to her shoulder where she got stabbed, so it's just a big, bulky sort of bandage padding thing, keeping it together.
Yeah. What are you up to today? I mean, it's the early morning. Normally you'd be doing gardening stuff, checking in, going to see your clients, but...
Normally, yeah, but I think the first thing Lottie needs to do is just focus on healing up a little bit. She got hurt bad, and she's really stressed out from that mission, so...
Yeah, okay. Are you going to focus on healing, or what do you want to do?
I need to recover stress first. So instead of doing her usual morning rounds of, you know, like making deliveries and stuff like that, Lottie's going to just focus on something that she can do, like, seated in her greenhouse and try to recover stress that way, just kind of working in her greenhouse and building up supplies so that she can do a double delivery the next day or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So we see you in your greenhouse just gardening, moving stuff around, moving real slow and real stiff.
Definitely sampling her own merchandise for pain relief.
Okay, you've got some crazy plant that you save for special occasions like this. What is it?
It's like a sugar cane, like you can chew on it like one, but it just kind of has like a general numbing effect.
Yes! Like the whole side of your face is just totally numb.
And it goes far, like it works on her shoulder too.
Oh my god! That's like so dangerous medically, mm-hmm, but that's fun. Okay, are you doing a... So you could clear two automatically and just call it there, or you could roll to try to clear more stress.
I'm going to roll for it.
Okay.
Three.
Okay, so you get to take off three stress.
I'm still pretty stressed, but I could do something now.
I think that your numbing cane, whatever it is, it even affects your, like, your inner ear, and so you start having, like, kind of a vertigo sensation, and so you're just, like, leaning over, and you're just like, okay. Amazing. This has been Lottie's first downtime action. Last time, Lottie's agenda was to get credentials for a higher status life. Do you want to leave it there, or do you want to set a new agenda in this downtime?
I think that one still makes sense for what we're doing.
Okay.
Just the last mission wasn't really one that was good for that.
Yeah. So. Okay, so you're in your greenhouse, you're looking at your meager belongings, and you're thinking it could be better. A lot of this stuff could be better. You could be safer right now. Okay, who would like to go next?
I would like to roll and then narrate, because we have an ongoing problem with shrill sounds that are keeping everyone up or, you know, otherwise ruining our days. I think after the last mission, I still had a lot of adrenaline, even after coming back. So I think Connie stayed up to investigate and try to solve whatever that problem was.
Sick. Okay, well, I should say real quick, in terms of backing faction requests, this is kind of one for you, Connie. Halbert is still out of town, and so when you get... We kind of briefly cut back to you stumbling back into the Scream and Slice after this disastrous mission, and we see Yanush just, like, surrounded by bullshit, like, nothing is done, like, he is just, like, fighting for his life. He's just like, Connie looks at you with panic in his eyes. Like, this is the faction request, is like, one of your downtime actions needs to be just helping the Screaming Slice. You could ignore it. There would be consequences. Mm-hmm. You could purchase another downtime action with coin, and you can scrape coin if you don't have any coin. But yeah, so just so you know, that is in play.
Well, could I ask Treasurer, how much coin do we have?
We have one coin.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't make any money off of that. anyway. I'll keep that in mind. Firstly, I do immediately start helping Yanush with heavy bags under my eyes. But,
my God.
I owe it to this place.
Yeah, I think you smell crazy. You're, like, scraped up. And Yanush is like, thank God. If you wanted to handle some food, just sort of raw food that, you know, we don't wash our hands here too much and just sort of touch that a lot. I know you just came out of a sewer.
I'm not an animal. I can wash myself off a little bit.
Fair.
Anyway, I would like to try to solve this one, the shrill sound, though.
All right, so this is a community project.
Yeah, it's a community project. Yes. We have 0-4 ticks.
Yes, yes.
I think examine is the play. Keep in mind, if I roll really well, it will complete this in one action, so I hope you have that in your GM brain.
I do, yeah.
Granted, it'd be very hard to, but all right, here we go. Trying to examine and figure out this shrill sound. That's a 4.
Hell yeah. 2 segments down. Okay, so how would Connie approach this? You know that there is a shrill sound causing pain in the area. Mm-hmm. Where would you go first?
Well, I think, again, after the last mission, I would stay up. Because it was coming around at night. And then, like, it would be the thing of, like, as soon as the sound happens, I, like, rush towards wherever I think the origin is. After that, I don't know, because I don't know what the origin is.
Yeah. Okay, so in game time, I think this is kind of a little bit back in time. This is you and Yanush mopping up for the night. I think even Petra is downstairs because, like, she lives here, she works here. Mm-hmm. Normally, she doesn't like to work a night shift, but clearly shit's falling apart, so she's helping out. And so this, like, insane, shrill, piercing, you know, all of you double over for a second. It's been getting worse. Like, you're like, what the fuck? And Petra just says quietly into her mask, like, it's so irresponsible. I mean, it's like there's a reason that we don't do ultrawave in the hobby community, because it's like harmful if you fuck it up.
Ultrawave?
Yeah. Yeah, this is ultrawave, you know? Like, if you notice, like, if you put in earplugs, it doesn't help, because it's not on regular frequencies. It's not really a sound. Like, it's hitting you part of your brain.
Oh, so it's making my entire skull vibrate instead of just my ears?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, fuck these people, right?
Yes. We gotta do more than just complain about it, though. I need to find these people.
Okay, but, like, I know you're, like, really intense about, you know, things being, like, immoral and shit and, like, religion and all that, but I don't know. I just don't want you to go beat these ass. Like, this is clearly just some radio jackass, right? Like,
I wasn't gonna get violent with them. I just need them to stop. It's ruining our community.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I have some equipment you can use if you want to. And you remember that this whole time, whenever we talked about Petra, she's always doing something with radios. So this is her specialty. So I think after you guys wrap up the chores for the night, you're tired, she's tired. You roll into her tent. You see that it is absolutely jam-packed with just gear, loose bits and pieces. And so she starts just shuffling through, kicking stuff around. She unspools this crazy antenna thing that, like, it chunk, 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 like, all of it fits together. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I tried walking around with this for a while, but I don't think it's on the ground. I think it's underground. So I kind of gave up.
Okay, well, hopefully I'll have better luck. I'll try to find these people.
Give me an image of... So it's Connie with your big, insane antenna walking around late at night. What are you thinking about What are you doing? What are we seeing in this moment?
I think it's very quiet. And so whenever the ultrawave sound like pierces through everything, it's even more jarring. That said, I'm trying to use the technology I have and my own knowledge to try and find this place. So luckily, there's no one around to see this, but when the ultrawave noise hits, I, with my mouth, try to replicate that exact frequency, because I'm like, maybe that'll help me find it.
Oh my
so
god.
It's an insane-looking thing that's happening, but I think, like, I genuinely think it's helping.
No one's listening. There's no podcast going. If you wanted to give me, maybe, for instance, Connie making a shrill sound...
I think, like, as soon as it goes off, there's a moment, like, a wince... when he has to cover his ears, even though that doesn't help. And then he just starts going... like trying to match the exact frequency.
Counteract it with the sound.
Gets out his tuning fork.
Oh my god.
Yep, literally using his vibrating head as a tuning fork and trying to match that sound. And it's even worse because, you know, there's pain associated with the sound. So imagine trying to sing in perfect pitch while someone's beating you on the head with a hammer.
So the scene is Connie, like, I'm picturing it's like an RC car controller out in front of you going like, ee! And like a couple of fox fingers are eating some trash on the ground and they just like look up and like their heads follow you as you're walking around. So this has been Connie's Sleepless Night. Who would like to go next?
I think Tank is back in his room and... I guess what equivalent of like a studio apartment, but small, whatever that is on Trash Planet. He's kind of stewing on one. They just kind of like abandoned a guy and he died. But also, like, why did Shahadi send me after this guy? You know, he lays down in his bed, and as he sits down, he feels like something in his back Sophie Short pocket.
Huh. Haven't we said you have 3-inch long shorts?
yes, but that's inseam. They're not like three inch shorts would be like
on your belt.
Like if you were like just measuring the raw fabric, it's okay, the inseam. Okay. That's how shorts work. If you didn't know, so they are bigger than 3 inches. But he feels something in his pocket.
Yes, Jim Bob slipped you something.
Yeah.
All right, so in this moment of stillness, I imagine you live in the Fresco Fuzz training facilities, so there's, like, people, like, running above you, you know? Like, you're just like, hoop, 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 in this
at
moment.
Night?
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's tickball, baby. We're all on a lot of uppers. Like, we're doing a lot of shit.
24-7.
Yes, the lifestyle. You pull out what is in your pocket, which is a mini disc. It is a little, tiny, old-fashioned mini disc. It's maybe 3 inches. It's in a paper sleeve. Looks crumply. Looks a little bit beat up. You hold it up in the light, and it's not scratched. Looks fine. And printed on the envelope, you see a logo. It's beautifully designed. It says APRNE. And I would love it if you would give me, like, this system doesn't really have a knowledge role, but in your estimation, how knowledgeable do you think Tank is about Helica, about this area, stuff in this area?
I would say he is knowledgeable about it, but in a way that he obviously learned this information from people who didn't live here, right? Like like an outside observer's,
like an academic
idea. Yeah, yeah, like an academic okay. Like textbook type.
All right, you know what, give me a fortune roll and you can take a +1, so it's going to be advantage. 2d6s.
Four.
Okay, this old logo just pings something in the back of your brain. APRNE, Archelos Petrochemical Research Northern Extension. Quick, memorable, catchy, we all know it. And just the logo pings something in your memory, like, okay, this was an old science thing? Like, I don't know. You can't quite put it together, but this disc looks pretty new.
Okay. This seems important. And then he's going to open up his pillowcase, and he's going to tuck it underneath his pillow.
We see a couple other really important objects in Tank's pillowcase. What are these objects?
A little action figure, like a G.I. Joe, but like small. He also has a tickball card of like an old player, kind of like a...
Is it like a Babe Ruth card?
Yeah, like a Babe Ruth, like
early tick ball, like
it's as you're sticking your mini disc in there, you pull out the card for a second and it's Pony Lewin, the captain of the Fresco Fuzz. When it was first created back in the day, probably over 50 years ago, and he was kicking ass. Like, I don't know, you look down at this card and you just feel that warmth in your heart and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
What does this guy look like?
Wait, hold on. Is this Coach? This is Coach Pony.
Yep. Right? yep.
Okay.
In his heyday.
In his heyday. Okay.
Because I don't think we've ever met Coach Pony on camera, have we?
No.
Okay. So yeah, we can.
Okay.
But yeah.
So this guy, he looks sick. He's absolutely shredded, like steroids to the gills. It was back before they really figured out performance enhancing drugs for the sport. So he's got like that, you know, 80s bodybuilder physique, a long blonde mullet.
Yeah. And he has his big horsey smile because he's got a huge gap tooth. And like, yeah. And he's just smiling up at you and you're like, yeah. Stick it back in your pillowcase. Nice. What would you like to do with your downtime action?
I think Tank's gonna wake up early and hit the gym.
Okay.
And try to like de-stress. So wakes up, he's gonna go down to the weight room at the practice facility, and it's gonna be like a cool montage.
It's like Edgar Wright editing. It's just like slam, slam, crash, crash, like, you know, like weights slamming into the ground, muscle, guitar riff, incredible.
Guys just like doing bodybuilder poses and high-fiving.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're freeze-framing in midair, which is crazy.
That's a juice burn, actually.
Yeah. So while you're in the gym, you are chilling. You're minding your own business. You're doing your thing. You're getting your grind on. And you hear, dude, did you hear? When you look over and you see Chops, your old buddy from episode one. He's the guy who is very wide from the front, but he turns to the side and he's thin like paper. He's like, bro, you missed it. Where were you? There was like a team meeting and shit. We're trying out new goalies.
What?
Yeah. Shahani fucking quit, dude. He's like, out of here. We could get on the team. Like, I don't know. They're holding like special, like obviously they have the, you know, fucking whoever's like sitting in for him for the next game, but they're looking for to fill the position permanently. And like, we could go for it, dude. Like, this is it.
That's incredible. But you said Shahani quit?
Yeah, he quit. Fucking loser.
Do you know?
I spit on him. He quit my favorite team, the Fresco Fuzz.
I know, an act most shameful. But like, does anyone know where he went?
I don't know, dude. He always kind of wigged me out.
Yeah, he was always kind of brooding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great for team morale.
One time he dapped me on the arm, and I rippled like a sheet of paper, and it frightened me.
Hey man, like, I think you should really get that juice burn checked out.
I think it's actually good.
I know you kind of made it your whole identity being like really wide and thin. But I don't think you should be rippling.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Turns to the side, completely vanishes. Amazing. You try to find him some nice two-dimensional weights, you know, finish out the set together. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So, are you trying to clear stress with your action?
Yeah, I'm trying to clear stress, okay. But like the fact that Shahadi is gone is like really setting off alarm bells in my head.
Ooh.
But Tank's going to push through.
He's you got have a, now the montage is like kind of dark and it's like 80s Jallo lighting where it's like, like, oh, the red light, oh, the bright green light. Like, it's very scary, yeah.
Cut to Tank. In the shower, is just like a hand on the wall, just letting the
the sad boy shower.
The only place in Trash Planet where you can reliably get a shower.
It is really funny to be spending your like this most unbelievable resource of clean water and a shower, and you're just kind of in there like, oh, my career.
It's for cinema.
Yeah, it's for cinema. It's fine. Amazing.
Listen, the sports team getting all the resources to have like useless things like that is that's too real.
Yeah. All right. Would you like to just take two off the dome for free, or would you like to roll and try to clear more?
I'm gonna roll for it.
Cool.
That's four. I'm down to 4 stress.
I mean, oh no. Okay. That's fine. Yeah,
I mean, that's less than half.
Normal. Mm-hmm. Normal and good.
I'm still at 5.
Oh, buddy. And you got how many injuries at this point? Okay, just one. That's good. Anything else from Tank in this? Like, you can talk to Chops more if you want, but, like, I don't know. Anything else you want to cover in this moment?
I mean, he didn't seem like he knew much about Shahadi.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Tank would go talk to someone who's actually on the team and see if they know anything.
Okay.
What does Shahadi's locker look like? Like, does it seem like a thought out exit or a, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like, is it like, did someone hastily like take it out or did he leave it?
Exactly.
Okay. I think, ooh, this is fun. So after your shower, you're like toweled off.
Go into the locker room.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had a mental image of Chops like squeezing his own arm like he's wringing out a towel. And then just, like, this is really throwing me. Okay. Yeah, so you head into the locker room. I think that there's like the shit idiot lockers and then there's the cool guy lockers for the real players, you know?
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to like, what is your move? Are you coming in high or are you coming in low as you try to walk into the cool guy part of the locker room, you know?
What do you mean by
high? Like status. Like, are you trying to be like, yeah, what's up, you know? Or are you trying to like, yeah, don't look at me. Sneak on in there.
Yeah, probably more sneaky.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it would be out of ordinary for like practice squad people to like come in and out of the locker room, but yeah. It also isn't the most inconspicuous thing.
That's so normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair, yeah. All right, so you wander on through. You see that everything about their stuff is better than yours. Like, it's all just bigger, nicer, newer. And you see that Shahadi's locker is just empty, you know, completely empty. And a lot of the other players keep theirs open. Like, nobody's going to steal from them. Like, they're rock stars, you know?
Yeah.
So everything he has is just completely gone. So it could be that someone cleaned it out, or it could be that he cleaned it out.
He's really gone. Oh.
We have a montage of all your favorite Shahadi moments. All like one of them, yeah.
All of them end with a very hard slap on the back.
Yeah. while like Arms of an Angel plays in the background.
Also, I want to say, this is me as a GM. This is your reward for the mission, is like, you are going to have a shot on the team. Like, because, you know, that was explicitly what was promised, okay?
Okay.
So, there you go. Any hoodle. And Enla, it is all you, baby. What do you want to do?
Enla's pretty stressed out, so she is concocting her next art installation. And having the run-in with Johnny Law, it makes her feel a little bit of, like, the power dynamic and status against, like, the Rovens and Johnny Law. Like, they don't like each other. The Rovens, like, do whatever they can to survive. But Johnny Law, like, often will come in and try to, like, wrangle. And they're, like, they're not into that in any way. They don't like being policed. And so this run-in is kind of, like, reigniting some of those feelings of anger. So Enla is going to work on a project where she's going to create an interactive exhibit where she will trap people naturally. People are stuck in a room with a person just like constantly yelling at them. Yelling nondescript mean things at them. Until like they start to freak out and you're like, but don't you feel safe? And then she'll finally let them out. But yeah, that's the
wow.
That's the general plan.
We cut to... I'm wrapping my head around it.
I know, I'm so sorry.
No, it's
beautiful. Loosey-goosey.
What kind of build, what kind of structure do you think you're trapping people in?
I really loved the escape through the sewer system, so I'm going to create some sort of like drop-in system, but like have a little bit of like a pad at the bottom so no one gets hurt, right? But
yeah, something you've totally thought about before, safety of your victims.
Listen. It's a little too high to drop somebody down into a sewer system. So they fall into the pad and then immediately like the sewer grate closes back and then all of a sudden the speakers start up with just like multiple voices. Inla's of course included, but I think also like she would recruit the rest of the team to help her with this particular project.
We smash cut to us trying to record whatever it is you want. So you're explaining to our characters what you want them to say.
Okay, guys, I need you to just like be mean. Okay, I need you to like.
Yeah.
So can I hear like an example of like what it sounds like when you're like being mean to somebody, Tank?
Yeah, your parents never loved you.
Oh my god, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I need a little bit more volume on it though. A little
okay,
more like
okay.
aggression.
Okay.
Your parents never loved you.
Oh my god, that's perfect. Oh my god, oh my god. Lottie, how are you feeling?
Huh?
Are you in this with me? Like I need okay. I need both.
I misunderstood.
Lottie has been stabbed so recently. You go to your stabbed friend and be like, "Hi, I need help with my art project," which is beautiful. Yes.
I just misunderstood the question. She's probably still swaying a little bit. She's like, I could try.
You could just say mean things to Goliath if you'd like.
I can never say mean things to Goliath.
Oh. The gunk snake just I pull him out and put him back in my pocket. Yeah. Okay. What about one of those customers that never pays you?
See, I usually just haggle with them to get them in deeper shit rather than yelling at them. But
it's okay. You can just say, "You're poor."
Oh, Connie, that's perfect. Everybody here is poor. I love that. I love it. Do you have any other suggestions, Connie? Like, do you have any other like things that you would, you know, yell at somebody just like in the street?
In the street?
I guess, you know, or like a random person you don't know, right? Like, but cut deep. I need you to get personal.
You're a disgrace and you'll never find a sense of belonging.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's, that was dark. Okay. Okay. All right.
You've abused everything that we've given you. You don't deserve a single thing to your name. You don't even deserve your name. You deserve no rights. I'm sorry, I can't do this.
Connie, are you okay? Connie!
I'll go check on him.
Good job, Lottie.
Lottie walks away.
I think this got real personal real quick for him.
This is booming over the speaker to these strangers. The strangers that you kidnapped. Yeah. Sorry, we cut back to Lottie and Connie. Right.
Wait, so, and look, like, we're supposed to be like ghosts, right?
I mean, if that helps you.
Like, this is like spooky.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is to like barrage people with negative comments, right? And then.
Yeah, but like, as ghosts.
Through the
Tank doesn't understand art.
Perfect. All right, we cut over to Lottie and Connie. Yeah.
Connie, what was that? Are you doing all right?
Yes, I'm stressed. And the whole barraging people with insults thing, I guess that's not me.
No, of course not. We're just trying to help Enla, that's you, right?
Yes. It's this... I would never tell Enla this, but this particular project I feel would work perfectly on someone like me. So just even picturing it in my head, I don't know, it triggered some.
Where past are we trauma. Right now? We're like, where did you run off to? Mm-hmm.
I probably ran off to the roof, to my little tent.
Yeah, cool. All right, it's still probably late at night at this point, or it could be the next day, whatever. So I don't know, maybe sunset, cinematic. So sun's coming down. You're just sitting on the roof. You see Petra's crazy like antenna kind of in the wind.
Right, first of all, I understand your concern, and Enla won't know. Look, Connie, I don't know everything you've been through. It's clearly a lot, and I felt like that got a little personal over there. Again, I'm not going to press. It seems like we've all been through a lot, and we're not all ready to talk about it necessarily, but I'm here for you if you need to bring any of that up. And if you need to deal with it in slightly less healthy ways, I can help out there too. I know what that's like.
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I'm glad that the option's open. It's nice to have people around, people who care about you again.
You look out over Bugtown, end of the day, people wandering around, radios in the distance, drum circle out by the long waits, driving you crazy as always. Nice moment. I think each of you heal one stress. Oh. That was nice.
Sorry, I hijacked your scene a little bit.
No, I honestly loved it. It was fantastic.
That was perfect. You really set us up for like good shit there.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so happy to see this happen.
Yes.
So do we want to go back to the art installation?
Yeah, so let's just roll and like, yeah.
Cool. I got a 6.
How many stress did you have?
6.
Oh, that's so good.
Perfect.
So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and roll it regardless because I'm like, no matter what, I would probably
so
get better.
So the final image we see is like, you're just like, this is really working for you. For whatever reason, what is it, I don't know, like, I think you're sitting cross-legged on the ground with these people you've kidnapped, and you're just, like, smiling, and you're like...
Well, I'm acting like I'm one of them.
Oh my god! Okay.
I want to be immersed in the experience, too.
Wow, so... we all got kidnapped today.
Oh, whoa. No. So I'm, like, kind of looking around, trying to be low-key, but Inla's having a hard time with, like, not, like, kind of grinning a little bit, but she's trying to, like, look around and just kind of, like, observe people and just be like, what's going on?
You see a guy who is holding out, he has a butterfly knife, and he's just, like, flipping it over his knuckles, and he's just like, I'm gonna find out who did this, or I'm gonna fucking kill him. I'll do it right now. I don't give a shit.
I mean, what if it was, Shankshank?
Shankshank? No. Shankshank is a true motherfucker. Did you see that mural? Shankshank is an emissary of light. The cleansing light of destruction. You look at this guy's eyes, they are blood red. Flipping the knife, he's just like, no, Shankshank wouldn't do this because this has a psychological element, right? And Shankshank is pure id. That's the one that's baseline, right?
Yes. So,
we know, yes. We all know, we're all familiar
this
with
these. This guy's Fred Freud?
What is he talking about? It's me, Digmund Boyd, and I'm the bleeding bad psychotherapist on Transplant. Anyway.
Inla's a little bit like, okay, I'm going to keep an eye on him.
you feel a tap on your shoulder.
Who's the other person?
I'm pretty sure that guy's Shankshank.
I mean... I know he's not, but I'm also a little convinced he might be.
Wait, how do you know he's not?
We're just gonna skip over that. So,
Shankshank could be any one of us. This guy flipping his knife. It's like Shankshank is around us, inside us.
Listen, I'm getting used to this whole thing with the screaming and all that, and it's actually kind of working for me, but this guy's ruined the experience.
Oh, it's so nice. Well, that's good to hear. Do you have any other feedback?
Well, I mean, I'd like to do it voluntarily rather than being trapped in a sewer.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, no.
I feel like that's an important component, though. It's because it's like art that, like, jumps out at you, you know?
Is it supposed to smell bad?
That does add a layer.
That was me. I did piss myself. And I shit! Step.
Oh, what's his name?
Digmund Boyd!
Oh, that Digmund.
You realize he's levitating slightly. He's like an inch off the ground. He's just...
Yeah, Digmund Boyd seems like he's on some serious juice and something else.
Yeah, well, if you're gonna piss and shit somewhere, it's better to be in the sewer, I guess.
It does save a few steps.
And we cut. An incredible and fulfilling art experience.
Thank you for going on that weird journey with me.
And look, I'm obsessed with your art career. I love it. Unbelievable. All right, so it is another night. In Bugtown, baby. And it is an interesting night because the shrill sound is going to escalate because we haven't solved it yet. So what happens is all of you guys are asleep in your tents or in your beautiful training facility, as we know. And then there is a shrill sound that normally it's just a second or two, just beep, you know. This goes on for about 4 minutes. And at the end of it, you feel crazy. Like you feel like the inside of your skull is rattling, like you feel deranged. It is so painful. And, you know, just like Petra said, the earplugs don't work. You can't block it out. So what happens at this point is riots. People are just wandering around looking for radio towers and they are going to start ripping them off. And so Petra has a radio tower late in the night. I think y'all would be awake if you want to be, not Tank. We have to do the whole Looney Tunes thing again. No, I would allow it, whatever. I think that you just have, you hear shouting, you hear voices. You're just like, who the fuck is doing this? You know, this is just local people who are in pain and mad and ripping down any radio tower they can find. Someone please give me an engagement roll. This is 1d6, unless you had someone patrolling, which you don't. So...
That's a five.
Okay, so the situation is risky, but not terrible. I think it's a group of like 8 or 9 people that are rolling up on the slice, like, and yelling and just like, there's one, like, You guys are on the roof and you have enough notice of this. Like, how would you guys address this situation? Like, Petra wakes up and she is, like, shaking. Like, she doesn't even have a weapon. She's not going to be of use here. I think Yanush comes out with a stun gun and it's like, you know, it's a little taser. It's like 4 inches long. It's just like lets it bark. You know?
Is this an intrusion?
It is an intrusion. Okay. Like, we don't have to do a whole, like, big fight about it, but, like, I want to resolve this in one or two rolls, you know? So what would you guys do? You have an angry mob who you know is coming to just destroy your radio tower, probably fuck up all your shit.
I think we head downstairs, and from the inside, behind closed doors, I'm just going to yell, "We're closed!"
I'm going to take the Vinny Vertebeest statue and move him into the window so there looks like there's more of us.
We remember our beloved icon, Vinny Vertebeest, the busted animatronic in the back of the Screaming Slides. He gops at you with his terrible maw. It's great. Call this a group action? Would you like to call this command, persuade, or charm?
I would like to call it command, but I would like to say more than what I just said.
Yeah, please.
The first thing was me being facetious, obviously. But with all of us there, I'll probably say something like, "You idiots, the sound is coming from underground. It has nothing to do with this tower. We're working on it. Just stay calm."
Tank is here.
Oh, he is?
But he's in the mob.
This is your find boys thing? Like, you just, like, literally woke up and you're like, whoa, I hear the sound of boys.
Tank is just like, oh, are we going to hang out? Okay.
Hey guys, maybe we shouldn't attack the Screaming Slice.
Hey! They slap you on the shoulder really big.
Yeah!
Amazing.
He makes a good point.
So are we group actioning with Tank from the crowd?
Sure, you mean in it. I love that. Yeah, incredible.
Okay, who else in this group action?
Yeah.
See, I think I am.
I haven't pitched in yet, but I could maybe.
You could if you wanted to. I think Lottie's probably cranking around upstairs. Like, I don't know. I would also understand if you sat this out, you know? And I would call this...
You are stabbed.
So we're going to call this Desperate Standard. So whatever this is, it's a desperate roll. You know when police wreck a homeless encampment and everything is just flat afterwards? You know, like, that's what would happen to your tents where you live. So I think that is the stakes of, like, a desperate situation.
I think I know how Lottie would persuade, actually. She's going to, like, from the roof, try and shout down to the crowd and be like, "I know half of you shot for me. If you mess stuff up here, I have to spend the next day cleaning and fixing this. You won't get your drugs, and the sound will still be going on. Do you really want to deal with that sound without any manja?"
Ooh, really compelling. Take a +1 on whatever this is. So this is sounding, okay, so it's going to be either command or persuade.
I'm better at persuade, and I think we were using logic.
Yeah, you did a lot of logic kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
I got a 6.
5.
4.
2.
Okay, so...
Amazing, a clean sweep. So Lottie's carries it.
Unsurprising.
I think everybody was sort of, like, on edge and tetchy and weird and stuff, but... And then Lottie says the thing about, like, no more manja, and you see the crowd kind of deflate, like...
Even Tank deflates.
So the crowd is like, whatever, fuck you. And someone is going to throw something at the building really hard. And like something, you know, clonk, clonk, dents, falls off. No huge damage, like minimal damage to the building. And then they turn away. They're kind of muttering. They're going somewhere else. Like, are you going to keep with them?
Yeah, I'm staying with them.
Bye, Tank.
Bye, guys.
All right, this has been an intrusion that you handled really well. Great job. And now we are into second downtime. What are we up to today?
This isn't like a turn thing, but I am fully probably way too busy doing, like, me and Yanush picking up Halvard's slack. Almost not realizing just the sheer amount of work that she did at the Screaming Slice. Like, she lives and breathes that place. Like, there was just a bunch of invisible stuff that we didn't even notice. Like... Like, you know, you have to twist a certain a bolt on the compressor in a certain way to make it keep running. And, like, that's just a thing we didn't know about. So.
You realize that, like, the Hobart actually operates on a hand crank. And so Halbert has been waking up every, like, 45 minutes to, like, crank the crank so the Hobart will keep mixing overnight. Like, there's just, like, all this insane shit. You're like, what? Like, what? This can't be how this works. Yeah, so you're having a rough night. Yeah, who would like to go?
I'd like to recover some of my harm. I got bonked pretty good on the head. Tank the nurse, would you like to come and help me with my bonked head?
Tank.
Can you sing me the concussion song?
Tank pops his head like in the doorway, like sideways. And then he disappears and then reappears full nurse outfit.
Amazing.
Someone rang.
Yeah, I heard that you could, you know, somebody else got. I don't think I'm concussed, but like I got bonked really good.
Oh, good bonking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna put on some smooth jazz.
I'm on board so far.
All right, and we're gonna vibe. All right.
Okay, I can vibe.
Now, follow me and.
In motion on and on.
I was gonna describe it, okay?
Right.
Tank starts putting his hands up.
Like he's in like a glass case.
Yeah, okay. Like we're in a glass case alright, Emma, follow me.
And Emma puts her hands on Tank's hands.
No touching.
Oh,
it's very important that we have to feel the energy between us. And Tank energy. Starts doing like a wax on, wax off motion. And then he does the thing where, you know, like pop and locking, where he like waves his arms. And then he'll do like a little like belly dance, like hands above the head kind of thing. Then he walks like an Egyptian. He says, all right, now you just need to close your eyes. And sit here for the next 3.5 hours. Okay, bye.
I have... so much to think about. Watching you dance is beautiful.
Yeah, you're an incredible dancer. Yep, so cool. All right, see ya.
Who's playing the Whitlow Brass Quartet on repeat?
this has been prescribed by Nurse Tank. So
you have to sit in your thoughts.
We okay. See that like the radio was playing the Brass Quartet, and then it's like Manja Mike is like,
my hernias have been going crazy. Like, let me tell you, I think it's like I ate a bunch of fibers, like literally like couch fibers, and it was really interesting what happened to me after that.
It was like a harrowing, like, oh God.
Yep. So yet another incredible moment of medical intervention. So Tank is going to roll care, and then, yeah.
Three.
A three, so that means you get one segment filled in on your clock.
For sitting for 4 hours.
Yeah. It's Manja Mike's hernia that, like, that's why you got no benefit out of it. Like, just getting to hear about it. Just
like, not enough jazz.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough of my thoughts to sit with. It was just it was Manja Mike's thoughts.
Incredible.
Love
okay.
It.
I need to de-stress myself as well, but... I think I do need to spend a coin, since we don't, since I'm using a third downtime action.
Yeah. Just to recap your night, you had your horrible Jim Bob mission.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were walking around all night, making a shrill sound with your mouth. Then you were busy all day in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Then an angry mob came by the following night. So Connie is operating on like 5 hours of sleep, and yeah.
Okay, so I can narrativize this coin. Mm. I think I probably... go out with Lottie and grab ingredients for some kind of like really good stimulant that's gonna give me more energy. Like, it's not the thing that you just have ingredients lying around for, so we do need to spend coins for it, but like you can synthesize it based on whatever we purchase. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel like we're basically finding stuff to mix with the howler I make.
Yeah. to make it like instant.
Yeah.
like back up to 100.
You could sell it and call it coffee. What coffee?
Coffee. Yep, that's the Trash Planet equivalent. C-W-O-F-F-E. Coffee.
It is spoken of in legendary tones where it's like, oh my God, coffee.
Coffee.
Coffee. All right, where are you guys? Like, where do you go to get this?
What was the market that I had my very first scene in?
That was in the food court, right?
Yeah, that's the food court. Yeah. So the food court kind of runs all day, every day. So you and Lottie, we just see you. It's packed. It's a bright, sunny day. Still glitter. Everybody's got masks on. You know, people shouting, people bargaining, big sacks, you know, people carrying shit around. And you're out in the food cart. We see a few minutes of chill time. What are y'all up to?
So why would Johnny Law want to kill just a random federal worker? That seems like a bit overkill for their operations.
And I don't understand why Johnny Law showed up when we were doing something for the Fresco Fuzz, right?
It's got to be connected in some way. I don't know. We need to lay low for a while, though. We don't want to piss off powerful people any more than we already have.
I agree. I feel like the first thing we should do is speak with Tank.
We should.
I don't think he knows more than he's letting on, but we can check.
Well, he was given this task by the Fuzz anyway. We didn't stand to gain anything ourselves necessarily out of it. Maybe someone on the Fuzz knows something. I can't believe Johnny Law knows we have a gun now, though. That's not going to end up well for us.
Somebody's got a gun? Hey, I got your death hemp ready to go.
No, no one has a gun. It's just a euphemism.
Okay. What's it short for?
No, it's like a figure of speech, you know? Like, gun to your head, would you rather never drink slushies again or never have a shot of juice again?
Look at this guy speaking words to me. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's how but answer his question.
Like, I know, but he's got like nouns and verbs and shit. He's right. Like, he's telling me he's got a gun and he's got a figure and he's got a, you know, a slushy and he's got all these things. And all I have is this death hemp I'm trying to sell you, you know?
Yeah, oh, so
I see there's a pickaxe in the back of your head. I'm kidding.
No, I'm good. The merchant turns to the side, big pickaxe. Amazing. They hand you a little sack of something that, like, it makes your eyes water getting close to it. You're like, ooh. Yeah, intense.
Thank you for the noun. Here's a noun back. Give her the coin.
Oh my god, incredible. Wow, she eats it.
Okay, and you're sure you can synthesize a howler that won't be that addictive and will work instantly with this?
I can promise at least one of those things.
Good enough.
Yay! Would you like to roll for your stress?
Also, this substance we cooked up, it feels like a downer and an upper. Like, you mix them.
Absolutely.
It's Four Loko. Sorry, that's branded. We can't use that. Albert pops out just, like, through the screen.
Five Loko.
Okay, I got three stress down.
What are you at now?
I'm at three now.
Okay. Manageable.
Instead of Four Loko, it's Quattro Crazy.
I actually really love that.
Write it down.
Write it down.
Quattro Crazy.
Okay. Quattro Crazy. So combo Howler and Death Hemp.
Great.
I think this is one of these drugs that, like, it's not popular because it sucks. You know, it's like, it's one of these drugs that makes you, like, it goes fast and slow at the same time. And so you're just sort of, like, sweating and vibrating and just, like, tired. And, yeah. So, Connie, enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that feeling where you haven't gotten enough sleep and you're using coffee to push through it and it's not helping. It's just increasing your heart rate and you're still tired. It's just that feeling distilled into a drug.
Yep.
You're really selling it.
Delicious. All right. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. I think Tank is going to, there's the opening on the team, right? So he's going to take the time and do some training.
Okay. What are you going to train?
I'm going to go prowess.
What does this look like when you are training?
I think it's going to be like an old school, like, football training. Like, he's high stepping through like a grid of ropes, pushing and flipping tires. He's like pulling a sled and he's just getting just physically, like, it's different than the weight training, right? Like, it's like to be faster.
Off of the distance, you see Coach UFO on the sidelines, big sunglasses, sipping out of a tall drink glass. It's like 9 a.m. You
know, she's got an umbrella in it.
Yeah. She's hanging out. She looks at you, walks back inside. Interesting. Good training. Hell yeah. Okay. So it's another day. It's another fucking day in this place. We just keep having days. So you knew she's wrapping up for the night. I think this is the early, early morning. He's always night shift. Petra's always morning shift. And he actually comes over to see you at your training place. Like, you are hanging out in your apartment And you hear just like an awkward kind of like hesitant like gong, gong, gong on the door.
Tank goes to open the door.
It's Yanoosh.
Yanoosh! What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah.
He looks pressed as always. Like he's always very, very trim. He's always in his old school ass uniform. And he says, Tank, I would like to invite you to dinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. I would love to go to dinner.
Damn. It's happening.
It's happening.
Right now.
Are we boys?
I think we're boys.
Predator. Predator handshake.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. And so we cut to like the two of you have to walk out to Yanusha's place, which you've never been to before. And he doesn't live here typically. So he's taking you through the streets. It is that late of the night, hearing people rattling around. You've got clavagers, you know, scrabble around in the dirt. That's our weird beetles that we've got. And Yanusha's like, so like the place is like messy and stuff, but like don't like look at that too closely, I guess.
No, get it, man.
Absolutely.
Life of a bachelor. Wait.
Yeah.
Are you a bachelor? Do you have a family?
Wouldn't it be crazy if I had like 5 kids?
That would be crazy.
That would be so crazy.
It would be crazy that they never came up.
I know.
Unless you're trying to like protect their identities or something.
I know. And like, what if I'm like lying about having 5 kids and like.
But you never said you had 5
kids. I never, yeah. So except right now.
But you're just posing a hypothetical.
Maybe. Unless I'm lying about it. Take one stress. the two of you rumble through the streets, being boys, until you see a massive metal object. It is big. It's like a half cylinder. It's maybe, I don't know, 15 feet long. And getting closer, you realize it is the scoop of a giant bulldozer just flipped over. So it's like the concave is on top. It's just sitting on the ground, which the ground is like hard-packed trash and earth and shit, you know? And for a minute, you're like, And then Yanoosh just kind of vanishes down a hole. Like, he has dug out a little thing in the side. He's like, yeah, so you do have to kind of, like, go, like, in. And I know your shoulders are wide, but I'm hoping that,
yeah. I can get skinny.
Did you know that rats, there's something about their bones? But I've never seen a rat.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Something about their bones.
Yeah. I'm going to think of it later.
Yeah, it would be like a cool, fun fact to know if I just like knew the rest of the facts.
I just keep giving you one stress. I'm just like... So you climb through into Yanusha's place. You realize the first thing he does is he takes out his taser and he's like, if anybody's in here, you got to get the fuck out. Silence. He's like, yeah, sometimes people get in here because there's no door, obviously. He like, there's some beetles. He like clears them out, you know, shoves them out the front. You're just like, oh, okay. And we see Yanusha's place. What you see is relentlessly organized. It is stacks. It is crates. It is like, what you're seeing is like one man bending his back against the chaos, you know, like all of this is organized by size. Some of it is by color. There's a lot of shit like drilled into the top of the scoop and it is hanging down. Like, this is beautiful. This is kind of like a museum archive kind of feel. And you realize that all of it is extremely old. Like, all of it is trash in the sense that it's not valuable. Like, nobody would ever rob this place because who gives a shit, you know? Because like, there's trash everywhere. Like, if you want trash, you can just get trash. So it's not tools, it's not machinery. It's a lot of old maps, it's a lot of old paperwork, it's a lot of like pictures of things, it's magazines, it is like toys and pencils and like a plastic banana that is sitting on like a little desk that, you know, looks like it's about to just disintegrate. Some of this stuff is so old that when you touch it, it is just sort of falling apart in your hand and you're like, ooh. And you see that the living area is just a little canvas cot, like a hospital cot, and a TV dinner tray stand. And it's also not super tall in here. Like, if it's 15 feet long, it's probably only like 4 feet deep or something. I don't know. It's hard to, you know. But so anyway, you kind of have to either be on your knees or be sitting. Yanoosh whips out a tarp and just sets it on the floor. And he's like, for the beetles, obviously.
Well,
and
obviously,
yeah. So the TV tray is like prohibitively high. You have to like reach up and over from the ground. But, you know, this is what we're working with. You realize that on the TV tray, we see a little bit of a paint set. Like, it's a tiny, tiny, like, miniature painting set. The lights are, like, old-school phosphorescent lanterns. Old as hell. He says, yeah, so, Yeah, I'm only going to run this for a second because I get kind of lightheaded if I don't know what that is. I think it's like some kind of dark magic. Pulls out a camp stove, like a little propane stove. He's like, but dude, this is a special occasion, so I just wanted to, you know, like, give it the gravity it deserves. You know, have my boy here, you know, because we're
boys.
Two boys. And he pulls out an MRE, a meal ready to eat. It is at least 100 years old. Like, just visually looking at it, you're like, uh-oh. You see the writing on the side says, beef and noodle bonanza. And so he starts heating up. He's got some water. He's like, so I've been saving up this water. I did run it off the sink, but Halbert's like out of town. So like, that's fine, I guess. And then you have to not tell Connie because, and he reaches in his backpack and pulls out Halbert's cut of beef.
Yanoosh.
I know, right? It's crazy, but we're boys, right?
We are boys, we're not going to eat all of it, right? Like, we got it.
I cannot stress enough that there's, like, 1 ounce of meat, right? Like, there's...
Four ounces total.
Four... In terms of how much meat there is, it's like... No, but dude, like, look at this. And you open up the package, and the vision at the edges of your eyes goes red. And it could be the fumes from the propane, because he's running this in an enclosed space. But you feel yourself... The death metal guitars pick up the meat dimension. You see the beef god. You see its rippling muscles. It's sticking to itself as it's walking. It reaches out. It touches you by the shoulder, smears you with blood, and just goes, meat!
Meat!
So, yeah, I don't know. You're at a crossroads here. Are you going to eat beef with the boys, or are you going to be a loser?
I mean, we could have some beef.
I'm giving this to you as a, if you start, you're not going to stop, you know, like, you're going to eat the meat or you're not, you know, like, there's not going to be a, like, oh, we're going to secretly hide it, you know.
Like, Tank's going to eat the meat.
Yeah. Yanoosh sees you reading it. He's like, you can read, right? Like, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fucking bonanza, dude.
I know. Those are.
What is a bonanza, do you think?
It's bigger than a party, right?
And that's what I'm saying. It's bigger than a party. And so we are eating our... I think we, like, thinly slice the meat.
I think it would be seared.
Okay.
A little sear. A little sizzle.
Beautiful. Yanoosh pulls out just a little bit of salt and pepper, you know, little tiny tray. It's just, ooh, it smells so good. And the carbon monoxide is building and you're like, yeah. So please roll for me. We're going to call this a prowess roll because you're eating 100 years old, a meal ready to eat.
Five.
Okay.
How many ticks on boys' night?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a free tick out of Boys Night for this.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm only going to give you the one because, you know.
But... It is Boy Night. I have one boy.
In character, yeah. You're just like, yeah, I thought about inviting Grover, but it feels like he would.
He wouldn't appreciate it.
I know. He wouldn't, like, bring down the vibe.
Yeah, and he's new. Like, he's got to pay his dues a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like, to the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the boys.
Do you hear something, like, outside?
What?
I don't know. It just sounds like someone's listening in on our conversation.
That, that can't be right. No, I mean, Grover, he doesn't know where I live, right? Like, he wouldn't follow me home, right?
I don't think we know.
That could have been anyone.
It could have been anyone. Especially if it's Grover. We'll invite you at the next time if you don't weird us out.
Okay, I'll see you guys next week.
That was definitely Grover.
It was Grover. Beginning to think it was Grover.
Seems like he is the type of person to follow you home. Okay, noted. Do you think his yogurt is any good?
That's such a good question, dude.
It's like all he does.
It's all he does. You'd think
it would be good.
You'd think it would be good if it was all a man did. You
but.
Know? But it's Grover.
Everything about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tells me that it is not good.
All right, I'm going to investigate, dude. I think we got to follow him home one of these nights. I don't know.
You're right. We got to turn the tables.
Yeah. And you have a beautiful boys' night. And at the, you know, I don't know, it's nice. It's nice. And the fumes don't even smell that bad over the smell of the beef. And this old MRE, like, it's just kind of amazing, right? Because you haven't had a mass manufactured anything in a long time.
Yeah.
So it's mostly powder at this point. Tastes like a lot of chemicals. But yeah, you're having a beautiful little night. And as we're heading out, like, Yanush, like, reaches down off a shelf. And he pulls out this crusty old notebook. It is pretty ripped up. It is real old. Again, probably over 100 years, just visually. The pages are disintegrating in his hands. He's like, check this out. And he flips it open to a page. It's kind of amazing he can read, too, because he's like local, yeah. You know? And so he very slowly and carefully reads, Day 65. Talbin did his fucking job for once. Kaminia's buying in. Broke out the beef and noodle bonanza to celebrate. Last of our meat supply, but we'll be printing our own in no time. Tastes like victory. And he slaps it closed and he's like, that's us, dude. That's the beef and noodle bonanza.
Beef and noodle bonanza? But what do you mean we're going to be printing more in no time?
Oh, no, this is, it's all old. Like, this is from the ship, from the Niederseltzer. You know the ship that's under the mountain?
Does Tank know about this?
I don't think he would. I don't think you're local enough to know. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Seltzer Mountain. Like, no, you know how that's, like, it's a spaceship. And it was...
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's cool. I don't know. It's just kind of cool, right? Like, it's just cool to know that, like, things used to be good. And they had bonanzas back then. And maybe things will be good again.
Yeah.
Boys.
More bonanzas ahead.
Bonanzas to come, brother. He goes for a chest bump, but you have no indication that that's happening. So he just kind of like slams into you in a weird way. And that, I think that's where we cut out, is the two of you apologizing to each other. And the camera pulls back. And all, well, how much of it was a carbon monoxide dream? How much of it was real? Who's to say?
We don't know.
Yet another beautiful day. That was our downtime. We're coming up on mission. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I think we have, for the first time since the last mission, I think we're all probably gathered in the dining room as a group.
Guys, Jim Bob, he slipped me something on the way out. Probably should have told you this earlier, but we all kind of been busy doing our own things.
Tank, we don't need to know every time you do drugs, okay? Like,
just... No. It wasn't drugs.
It was rioting.
Yeah, but that was like, I got swept up in it. You ever been in a riot? They're awesome.
You know, okay, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
And Liz's eyes like sparkle. She's like, yeah, I get it.
You look like you've been in a riot or two.
Hi, we're getting sidetracked. What's okay.
Yeah. So Jim Bob, he gave me this. And I pull out the
mini disc.
Yeah. Is it the envelope is still on it?
Yep.
This logo, I recognize it. It's from the Archelaus Petrochemical Research Northern Extension.
I haven't seen a mini disc in forever.
Connie, you take one look at this. You're educated. You know what's up around here. You're like, oh, that's the library. That's the library north of the canyon that is its own little zone. It would take a few days to get there.
So, Archelaus Petrochemical, we can get this disc right at the library north of the canyon. I don't think anyone here has the means to look at it, but if it was important, why would he give it to you in disc form? I don't think he knows that we can't afford a CD player, right?
Yeah, but like, what if it's like, that's why he was killed? Maybe he took it.
I think it's worth investigating, but we can't have the ire of Johnny Law back on us.
Yeah, we need to kill the heat.
Well, we also, we're kind of broke.
Yeah, so maybe we take some time and scrounge up some cash, let the heat go down.
We do owe someone a bird.
Jailbird. Yeah. I guess they'll pay. Tender Mercy will definitely pay.
They'll pay top dollar for a jailbird. I think they gave us a deadline for it, so we can't just ignore them. They're the type of people where it might come back to bite us.
Yeah, we did
it's not
like,
going to go well for us.
And we did steal the Getty Girl's job.
That's true. We do have to deliver on our first assignment. Otherwise, what's even the...
Why'd we do that in the first place?
Yeah, we don't really have an option here not to do that. We should probably prioritize that before we get more heat from Johnny Law.
Are we going to kill a jailbird?
Yeah, let's kill a jailbird.
I don't want to kill a jailbird. They're like these majestic. Have you ever seen a jailbird?
No, I've seen their nests, the jails, but never seen the bird.
Oh my gosh, they're these enormous, crazy conglomerations of they are an enigma in and of themselves. And the Rovans, it's like a tradition to just admire them. I can't kill it.
I don't think we have to. If none of us except for Enla have seen one, neither have they. All we need to do is make a fake, right?
Well, I need to be convincing.
I can arrange that.
So if we are faking this, it has to be a complete secret. We can't do it in Bugtown. And ideally, we need some pieces of actual jailbird to make this convincing.
Yeah, I know exactly who to call.
Is everyone on board? We fake a jailbird?
I'm in.
Pete's fighting one with a messed up shoulder.
Then we need to figure out what the actual meat we're going to use is. But I guess we can cross that bridge later.
Yeah, maybe we could just kill hundreds of smaller birds.
You're listening to a Hypergallant production. If you like what you heard, leave us a rate and review. Check out our website at hypergallant.com. Thank you to the Drin, the Serfs, Crime of Passing, Herberts Again, and our own Rabbit Sullivan for the use of their music. Thank you to Morgan Davies, Malcolm Craig, and Gregor Hutton for the use of their game, Ace Tape.
Everybody, give it a little clap. Come on, everybody, just give it a little clap.